Hi, my name is Knuckles, and I'm doing a podcast about veganism. I've been wanting to do something for a while and didn't really know how to begin or where to begin. So this is my attempt at doing a podcast. My story is I am living in New Zealand, in Auckland, and I am trying to bring the abolitionist message down under. I'm sure it's already here. I'm hoping that, first of all, the reason I'm doing this is almost a way of venting. I have a lot of thoughts that drive me crazy. I need to talk about them, and if I just talk about them to the airwaves, that's good enough for me. I don't have a lot of people to talk to about it right now. I'm just going to begin my first episode with talking about me and how I became a vegan and why. I wrote about it on Vegan Freaks, so I'm going to just pretty much read that. Well, just as I thought, I'm blocked from Vegan Freaks because I haven't gone on the forum for the longest time. I kind of gave up on the Vegan Freaks forum. I need a little closer contact, and I really feel like what I really, really want to do is spread the message down here in New Zealand in a very active way, and I'm just bumbling along, and I just became a very recent vegan. In fact, I was supposed to tell you my story, but I can't access it from the Vegan Freaks forum at this time. Anyway, I can tell you my story in my own words again. I just feel like I did. That was really it, you know. That was the one I just would always refer people to if they really wanted to. I mean, not like people are beating down my door to know my story, but I do feel it's useful to introduce yourself. And I just want to say, I don't know if anybody's ever going to listen to this podcast, and it doesn't really matter. Like I said, I'm doing this for, a lot of it is for, sanity. Just, I need to talk, and I'm alienating people, or maybe it's just my imagination. Even when I went in the chat rooms, I felt like I was alienating people, or maybe I'm just being overly sensitive. But I've met, there's a lot of vegans in New Zealand, but not nearly enough. And of course, I am trying to find other people who feel the same way about veganism. In other words, I am a believer, or the only thing that makes any sense to me is abolitionist veganism. And anybody who, by some remote chance, is listening to this, it's all you need to know about it is just go to Gary Francione's website, www.abolitionistapproach.com. He's the only person who makes any sense to me at all, at all. I think for myself, it's not that I'm a blind follower of the man, but he's the only person who makes any sense, and he makes sense to a lot of other people. Unfortunately, there are a lot of other people to whom he does not make any sense, and there are a majority of people to whom he does not make any sense. That is because a lot of the big organizations have memberships, and the members are not vegans, so they may care about dogs and cats, and they may care about horses, or they may care about polar bears, or they may care about dolphins or whales, but they don't care about veganism. They still want to eat animals and wear leather and go to the zoo and things like that. So I'm really hoping by this podcast, by some blind chance, not only can I vent and talk about the things that I think about, because I'm constantly hearing things on a daily basis in the news that I really want to, I have to get it out because it sits inside of me. I do talk a lot with non-vegans at my job, and they are very open and tolerant. I always let them start the conversation, but it makes them uncomfortable, and they don't really get it because they don't want to. You know, it's not something you want to know about if you're eating meat every day. Anyway, my story. So I can end this, and, well, I became what is now called a vegetarian about, I don't know exactly how many years ago. It was not, maybe 7, I don't know. I was in New York and I'd always eaten meat and worn leather and still consider myself an animal lover. As a child, I read every single book that could be done on animals, Gerald Durrell, and any book I had, it was even adventure stories, Hal and Roger Hunt. They were these kids who traveled all around the world and studied animals. So I did love animals so much, but in a very human way, you know, the way we do. I mean, I was given a cat, you know, as a present, and one day she ran away in the rain, and then she got hit by a car, and that was my first taste of the responsibility of this animal and the death of this animal being my responsibility. I was very young at the time, and I cried a lot because I hadn't gone and looked for her because it was pouring with rain, and I assumed that she was going to come home anytime. She didn't. And my next cat that I was given was born in the wild, and his mother was abandoned. And, you know, I loved him, but I thought he was mine, and I treated him like he was mine. He was a very nervous cat, and I wanted him to be like other cats and come and cuddle with me. I didn't want him to be who he was. So, you know, I really didn't know how to be respectful of him as an individual, and I would lock him up in the room and try to cuddle him and probably scare him. I mean, he slept on my bed every night, and, you know, I mean, it wasn't like I was cruel to him. Not on purpose. I'm sure I was cruel to him. I'm sure he felt nervous when I would bring my friends over and try to show them my property as such. But anyway, so my whole life I was very sensitive. Any project I did in school was about animals. And when I found out about what they did to the wild horses in America, that they used to hunt them down and shoot them from planes and helicopters and use them as animal meat, cat food and dog food, I felt it terribly. I was a huge admirer of horses, and I remember vaguely having a conversation with my mother about it, about my cat's food, and saying, please, you know. And I don't know how many conversations I had with my mother about that. I do remember wanting to die when I was about 9, and I found out really what we were doing to the earth. And I remember telling my mother, you know, I'm going to kill myself. And she said, why, you know? She's always very indulgent of me, but slightly mocking, you know. And she said, why? She said, why? And I said, well, because of what we do to all the animals. And she just laughed. She really did. And she comforted me. And don't know what happened with that. And I never became a vegetarian. And I grew up in, you know, my uncle went duck hunting. And I still was able to reconcile it, as we all do. I loved my cat. And anyway, I left home very young and really just didn't think about anything important for many years. Until very recently, I did become a vegetarian, as they say. It's not really a vegetarian. In New York, a friend of mine was, and I said, I really want to, you know, but I'm scared about protein and what's the diet, and I'm scared I'm going to get sick and la la la. And in fact, I did have a vegan friend when I was 17 years old, and man, I wish I'd paid more attention to her then. I really, really do, but I didn't. So maybe about 10 years later, my beautiful friend Mariah helped me become a vegetarian, showed me all these wonderful recipes. Like I said, the vegetarian term is not really, in my opinion, one that should be used anymore. And people used to say, I'd say, I don't want any of that, thank you. Oh, are you a vegetarian? And I'd say, well, I eat fish. I eat eggs, you know, I eat dairy. I'd never feel comfortable saying, yes, I am, because I wasn't. But anyway, I did that for a few years, and it just so happened that I started to have a slightly raised consciousness. I mean, I got older, and I do recall, and I'd actually given up dairy products completely, but only for my personal issues. They were nothing. They were just dietary issues. My skin, in fact, purely cosmetic. And I really didn't do it for the animals. But I was down to just eating. I was eating shellfish and fish, and then everything else was vegetables. Of course, I didn't check the ingredients in my products, and I was wearing leather, and all my things were leather. So about beginning of 2007, sometime around 2007, I was watching public access television, and I switched through, and this, actually PETA, a documentary from PETA came on. Somebody had put it on, and I'm forever grateful to them. It's called Pity the Pig. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of it or seen it. So it came on, and you can guess what it was about. It was a lot of very graphic imagery, and it was like a, you know, being hit with, it's the first time, I never ever watched any kind of videos like that before, ever. I didn't search them out, I did not see anything, I was never exposed to that, I didn't expose myself to it, nor was it ever exposed to me. It just so happened I turned it on, and because I think it really was the first time I'd been confronted with something like that, by chance, not with somebody saying, oh, you have to watch this, which nobody ever did anyway, but by chance, and I watched the whole thing. I mean, I think I caught it almost at the beginning, and, well, you know, of course I was crying hysterically. I'm quite a weeper. I do cry a lot. And, wow, it really hit me, you know, and I hadn't eaten pork for a good 6 years by that point. It didn't matter. So, wake-up call number one. Then, you know, you kind of just keep going. I was still wearing leather, and, you know, I really hadn't woken up properly, and then in this all happened a few months of each other. I saw another documentary on the dolphin. I was by a famous marine biologist who, and I don't remember his name, but he's goes around the world, and he's a marine biologist, and I highly doubt he's vegan, but his passion is dolphins and whales, and he exposed the world, or he tries to expose the world to the Japanese culling and culling of dolphins. What do they call it? I don't even know what you'd call it. This slaughter of dolphins for food in Japan. Well, I'd never heard of that, and that really blew my mind. I'll never forget it. And so I started to wake up. I thought, wow, you know, my mind started to finally wake up, finally. And I was walking around with these things just creeping up on me, and I was feeding my cat, and I was thinking, oh no, I have to buy humanely raised and handled cat food because, my goodness, I mean, wow, you know, I'm really part of this. And, you know, it's still just gradual. I was still eating tons of eggs. I was eating eggs. And I was buying these Pete and Jerry's. You know, I could only buy them in one place on 1st Avenue and 10th Street. I had to catch the train all the way downtown from Harlem, go across town, you know, walk just to get these eggs. And I did it because I thought it was the right thing to do. I was still not a vegan. And then I started to, and then I was walking around, I think it was probably Chinatown, and I saw all the fish, and I just suddenly thought, look at all these fish, you know, and I'd seen a little something on squid, and they are, you know, somebody said they actually have quite a, what we consider intelligence, I think is irrelevant at this point, of course sentience is all that matters, but they're really intelligent, they really cool personalities, squids, they showed them coming up to the camera and checking it out and doing all these things, and they're saying, yeah, squids are quite cool little personalities, you know. And I was thinking, man, you know, I eat them, you know, I wouldn't eat a cow, why am I eating? So I stopped eating fish, and I said, you know, because I don't want to be cruel to anything anymore. But I still had my eggs, and thinking that I was getting these, you know, humanely raised eggs, and I was still feeding my cat this so-called humanely raised meat. And anyway, I was doing all these things, but the wake-up had happened, and then I, of course, during the course of my searches, I realized, I'd just gone and bought all these brand new sandals from this big discount store. Everything was leather, I didn't think twice about it, and then, towards the end of summer, I needed a new pair of boots, and I was planning to come home to New Zealand, and I suddenly thought, that was when it really hit me. I said, wait a minute, why am I buying, you know, leather? I know that there's vegetarian leather. So I started to look on New Zealand websites for places to buy vegan leather shoes, because I decided not to buy them anymore, not to buy leather shoes anymore. And I came across a few websites, and I came across a website that pointed me towards the movie Earthlings. So long story short, I saw Earthlings, and from that moment, I mean, literally, I think maybe the next day, I took absolutely everything that I've owned, except for silk. I kept my silk for a little while longer. I was in love with silk until I knew how it made. I actually literally didn't know how silk was made. Never bothered to investigate. I really didn't. I had this stupid, I mean, people will think that damnedest things if you allow them. For me, I knew how leather was made. I knew how beef was made and all that. Let me just check my email here. But I didn't know how silk was made, and I thought the silkworms sat and just weaved them like spider webs. You know, they're just happy little farms of silkworms just weaving and weaving. Anyway, we all know how silk's made. But it took me, after seeing Earthlings, well, it was absolutely devastating, and I didn't have anybody to really share it with. And at the time, I mean, it's very difficult to explain. I'm sure a lot of you have been through it, but I felt very, very alone. And I was actually working in a restaurant. I was working 7 days a week. I was saving the money to bring me and my cat home. And I worked in a restaurant as a waitress on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. 7 days a week, I was working as a sound engineer, 5 days a week, a full-time job, and then Friday nights, all day Saturday and all day Sunday. Not every Friday night, but I was dying. I mean, I was exhausted and saving my money and trying to bring my cat home, and I saw earthlings, and then I had to go to this restaurant and serve buffalo wings and hamburgers to people and watch them throw most of it away. And anybody who's seen earthlings, hell, it was like it being shell shocked. It was worse than 9/11. Much worse. 9/11 was, I know that sounds terrible, but I was really shell shocked after 9/11. I didn't. You think the reason it was worse was because I didn't. I mean, I lived in New York, but I didn't lose anybody close. I knew of people who lost people, and I didn't see it happen, and I didn't even have a television, and I've never seen it, and I never want to. I had a unique experience, I think. I'll tell that story another time. It's irrelevant, except for to say that when I saw Earthlings and Pity the Pig and this dolphin slaughter, oh, when I saw Pity the Pig and this dolphin slaughter, I didn't eat dolphins or pigs, so it did devastate me, and I did want to help them, but I didn't eat them. But when I saw Earthlings, everything, most of what was shown there, I was directly part of, and the guilt. So I'm glad forever I saw the film. I've given it to three or four people, and I've told them to pass it on, and that was my way of just beginning activism before I left New York. My friends were, like I said, these vegetarian, they're lovely, and I love my friends, but they're not vegan. In fact, I have friends who weren't vegan, and I was actually living with a girl who was full, not even, she ate everything. So it was very difficult, and I very, very much withdrew, and I came to New Zealand, and I was desperately reaching out. And but I, got, after I got on the Earthlings forum, I loved the fact that this happened to me so early. I was only just a new vegan, and my first taste of what it was to, after I spoke on the forum for a little while, was to say, to be directed to Gary Francione's website and to be introduced to his concepts. And I just cannot think any, I mean, that for me just made perfect sense, and nothing else does. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me to regulate animal exploitation. So there's my story. It's a long story. Sorry if it was boring. That's who I am. So I've been here for a while, and I really, really want to put out this message: vegan education, pure and only, no compromise. I do not, well, I won't, I will not have anything to do with any kind of promotion such as humanely raised this or cage free that. I just want to talk about veganism. I'm not comfortable with joining any organizations. I am only comfortable with that, and I'm very, at the moment, struggling, and I don't get out very much, so I figure I'll do this, and at least I can vent because there's so many things I want to talk about. So this is my first podcast, probably really badly done, and I shall hope to improve, and I should do it weekly because there are certain things that come up that I want to talk about, even to myself, out loud, and recording myself is a way to do that, and it will help keep me sane. And if anybody listens and feels the same way about this kind of activism that I would like to do, is just talk about the abolitionist veganism approach. And all that is talking to people about veganism. And it's not about being violent, and it's not about being judgmental. I would be a hypocrite if I judged anybody, okay? I don't think that you have to be special to be vegan. I don't think vegans are any more special than anybody else. They just have been lucky enough to have been presented with this argument and to believe it. I know there's people on this earth who don't care, and there's always going to be, but the majority of people do care about these things. You just have to open their minds. Right now, we're not going anywhere with that. There's 99.9999% of the world thinks it's perfectly okay, and that's because they haven't, you don't want to think about it, and it's such a big part of the norm, and the only way to do it is to talk to people. And the more people there are with this message, it's not a confusing message. I don't even want to join an organization. I don't want to be an organization, but this is the only way I feel comfortable being an animal activist. It's the only way. I will not, okay, anyway, I don't want to get too political. I just want to maybe find some other people. I have some pamphlets from Gary Francione's podcast. I want to, sorry, from his website. I want to hand those out. There are actually organizations who do promote this. I believe there's a group in Australia, and I will get all this stuff together and I'll be more documented, and I aim to make a good go of this podcast, and that it, if it ever does get listened to, I'll sound coherent and maybe pique some people's interest. And people can reach out to me. Please email me your thoughts, especially if you live in the Auckland region and you are willing to join me in just perhaps giving out some pamphlets. That's pretty much all I want to do. S give out pamphlets to that, and maybe talk to people about that. Always talk to people in your own life. And anybody here who's listening who's not a vegan, you can also write, and I welcome all mail, haters included. Do it. I will read it and I will respond. I am simply doing this because I have to. It's all I can do. I have a lot to talk about, so I'm going to sign off. And episode 2, I will have specific topics that I would like to talk about, things I've heard on the news and things like that. And this episode is going to get on the airwaves as soon as I figure out how to do it. And so I'll come up with my own little theme song, maybe. It's really, all those frills aren't that important to me. But I know that they may make my podcast slightly more listenable. But anybody who listened, thank you. And please contact me, especially if you live in the Auckland region, but I don't care where you live, contact me anyway. But I am trying to reach out to people who are local, who may perhaps want to discuss, even just talk. I need people to talk to where there's no conflict of ideas. And that sounds ridiculous, but it would be nice to have somebody else who did agree with Gary Francione, and I didn't have to make such an effort to not step on any toes. And all I want to do is get it out there. And this is the way I'm doing it for now. So thank you for listening, and goodbye.